Welcome to the Agency Builders Podcast, where in weekly episodes, Andre and Christian from the KnowledgeX team will provide actionable advice on how to build an agency business by interviewing guests who have already done it and who are currently doing it successfully. So, if you're wanting to build an agency, or if you're currently building an agency, be sure to sit back, relax, and enjoy the free value.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to a brand new episode of the Agency Builders Podcast. Today, Andre and I are here with the degenerate himself, Sean Matthew. What's going on, Sean?
Nothing much, man. Listen to that new Drake album. Just trying to find like some quotables so I can get these like IG captions down, I guess.
Love it, man. Yeah, so for anyone who's not familiar with, you know, who you are and what you're up to, do you want to just give a quick intro?
Yeah, my name's Sean Matthew. I'm basically a marketing agency owner, as this podcast is for. I have probably like a different experiences with a couple of different types of marketing agencies. I helped co-found and scale e-commerce marketing agency to over a seven-figure run rate. I actually ended up exiting out of that business. It was previously called Maybach Media. They merged with another agency and they're now called Scalebolt. They're doing really, really well now. Actually really happy to see them succeed and stuff. Right now I do the marketing for this software development agency. I don't really know anything about software, to be honest, other than how to like sell stuff. So I just do the marketing outreach for this software development agency called Waker. And then on the side, I've just been like growing and slowly scaling my own mortgage, loan officer, lead generation agency. So I actually have a pretty breadth of experience when it comes to like B2B, e-commerce, different sales cycles, like because the software development sales cycle is long as hell. So I kind of have a bunch of different experiences, I guess.
Yeah, it sounds like it. So I'm excited to kind of unpack that with Christian and the rest of the audience tuning in. So I always like to go back to like the origins of like how you kind of got started and introed into this space. So where did you start? How did you hear about it? And what were like the beginnings like, whether it be in e-commerce, like you mentioned, or just B2B in general?
Okay. I guess that I'd probably say that the very, very beginning would have to be, as corny as it sounds, those Ty Lopez ads. I never bought it at all. Or like, I didn't even like pirate it like a lot of people I know did. But that was like the first time I ever heard of an agency business model is when he was pitching it. Not saying he's like a good teacher or a bad teacher per se. I haven't really gone through any of his stuff, but from what I understand is like he taught the basics of the business model, but and like how to get clients, but not how to do the marketing services to fulfill your clients. So he taught people how to get leads, sell them, and not really fulfill. But like that's the basics of a business if you can learn how to fulfill. So then from there, I guess I started learning a lot more about e-commerce just because I was kind of interested in like running Facebook ads and Google ads. From an internship I had. And I was just like, okay, this seems interesting to me. I messed around, did a little bit of dropshipping here and there. I briefly used TikTok influencers to dropship like a ring light. That was my first foray into e-commerce. Had a bit of success. But then from there, I actually ended up partnering up with one of my co-founders, Kendall Shaw, and a guy named Tate Clemens. And we started a e-commerce marketing agency called Maybach Media. And we were able to like scale and grow our team really, really quickly, which was like a really valuable experience for me in just taking a project from kind of like idea stage to hiring out like account managers, bringing on closers, building systems and processes to where we could like systemize a lot of things like onboarding, offboarding, review of client campaigns and stuff like that. So once I kind of realized that running a business is complicated, but it's not something so complicated I would never be able to do it. Then I was like, okay, I can just keep failing or just keep growing and just keep at it. If I fail, I fail, but I'll just keep going. And from there, I just started my own mortgage lead generation agency after I left Maybach. And from there, I was just like, one of my mentors saw that I was like starting my own thing and I left to start my own business. And he was like, yo, if you got some free time, you want to run some marketing campaigns for us, or just I just came in a really like low it wasn't like formal at all. It was like the most informal thing, which honestly is the best like type of business relationships in my opinion. So I just started helping him with his marketing. And I got to the point where I dropped out of Georgia Tech in March of this year. So I'm pretty happy with the position I'm in. I've been able to kind of like leave the traditional path of like, I don't even know what the traditional path for marketing is. I feel like most marketers like have the like the dropout story that most of us have. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. I'm on my last semester right now and Andre's done. And dude, if we were like on this trajectory 2 or 3 years ago, I'm pretty sure I would have dropped out as well. But
yeah,
I feel like I'm in too deep now. So I'm just going to
finish. Yeah, exactly. It. Like it's kind of like the, it's just, you're right there. So you might as well finish it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So take me through, you know, leaving and exiting your first agency that you were growing and starting your own. Was the process smoother than the first time? Did you know exactly what you were doing to get the second one up and running? Were you nervous? Like, talk me through that.
I'd say that after starting and scaling, helping start and scale Maybach, the second time around was just so much easier because I already know that, like, when you're first starting an agency, you're most likely focusing on all the wrong things that will not drive revenue. But I just really knew, like, literally the only thing I need to give a fuck about is booking sales calls and getting on those sales calls so I can better understand my customer. And if I don't sell, I'll iterate the offer, improve the offer, kill it on the next sales call. And if I basically the only thing I realized I had to focus on was just setting and booking appointments, which is beneficial for y'all because like you guys run a lead gen agency. So I literally realized like, yeah, lead gen is the lifeblood of your, if your business is doing less than a million ARR, you should be focused all your time and effort in generating leads and sales, in my opinion. So that's like what I realized is the most important thing. Yeah,
100%. Cause it's like you just said, like if you don't have leads or sales or clients to fulfill on, like that's really all there is to look at is getting more of those opportunities in the door. So what I'm interested in hearing more about, cause I think this is like a unique opportunity for people we interview, you don't really hear it often, but like you've exited a company, I think you mentioned like a few years ago or maybe sometime last year. So take us through what that process was like. And like, first off, why do you want to exit the business? And then how do you go about it? And like, how'd that kind of work out for you? And I guess like, would you do it again? Was it a good experience? Just kind of take us through that.
I'd say it was a very, very, very good experience, like helping start and scale that agency. Honestly, the only reason I exited was just because I realized that my incentives and my business partner's incentives weren't the most aligned, just not in terms of like for what I wanted, I guess, because my end goal was to have like an agency just as a cash machine where I could just have like a bunch of cash being distributed to me every single month. But the thing is with the e-commerce marketing agency, there's so many different moving parts and different partners that we basically like my business partner, Kendall, ended up bringing on a lot of people onto our team. And that diluted like equity, I guess. And I just kind of realized like, I just want something where I can have like a really lean business where I own 100% of it rather than like a giant business that does a lot in revenue, but it's like, we have so many employees and all that stuff. So I was just really focused on like, I guess the analogy I could say is there's two ways to make a boat go faster. One is to get like a bigger engine and one is to make the boat way less. And I was focused on the latter where I was just like, I want a really lean agency where I have a lifestyle business that just produces me cash every month. So that was my end goal. And I realized like, I wasn't going to get that at Maybach. I did learn like a lot of really, really, really important things. But just for me, cause I wanted the 4-hour work week lifestyle, I just realized that, it wasn't the best fit for me. So I just like, honestly, it was a really amicable split. I just went to my business partners. I was just like telling them like, yo, I kind of see myself doing something else. And they were just like, we were just like talked about like, exit offers. And honestly, I just like walked out and both of us ended up happy. And then it also made sense because they were thinking about, merging with another e-commerce agency. So I kind of just like, helped, liquidate some capitalization for the other agency to help, merge.
Yeah, that's dope, man. I feel like actually like going for what you want and telling your partner straight up, like, I want to do something else. Like our goals don't align is like going to be way more beneficial than just like staying in a situation you're not happy with. So props to you for, you know,
I guess one of the things I also realized is that like, I'm not the type of person, like a part of me was thinking like, did I go in and, just leave too quickly. But I was just realizing, like, I don't really care about, like, many things other than just being, like, I guess, righteous to myself. Which is, like, if I genuinely don't feel like I'm in the right spot, I'm, like, the type of person where I'm ADHD. I'll always be moving around to different things to where – and I can only really focus on things where I'm just, like, 100% into it and passionate about it. And I just didn't feel like it was fair for me to stay on that business if I was, like, if I had my heart somewhere else. And also one of the things that I kind of realized is that, like, I wanted a business where my product – where my service was super productized, to where I could just focus fully on acquisition, and then I wouldn't have fulfillment be the bottleneck, which seemed to be the case for e-commerce for e-commerce agencies. Because for e-commerce, you kind of have to have a unique marketing strategy for each one of your clients. You have to most likely have like copywriters on staff, like maybe an email marketer, Facebook guy, unless you just provide one service, I guess. But that's kind of like to the point where I was just like, I just want to get really simple with it. In my business model, and that's just the way I like my business is structured. If I am going to work on a business, is I just want it like super hyper focused, one offer, super duper simple, pretty scalable to fulfill on. So then you can just kind of pour money onto acquisition. That's just the strategy I had.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, I feel like any agency's goal like should be to move towards a more productized service offering, because like you said, like the more simple and the more straightforward fulfillment is, the easier it is to spend time on sales and acquisition, which is going to drive growth for the company. So really cool to just hear insights on that, because that's something that for us, like that's something we're working on. We're trying to introduce more productized service offerings for scale, and it's been working really well. So I guess like after you exited this company, how do you actually go out and execute on everything you kind of just talked us through?
Okay, so one of the things that I'd say is I just realized that the first thing I need to do is just set as many phone call like sales calls as possible. So the first thing I did was I set up two different prospecting channels, one of them paid, one of them organic. The only reason I would say I set up a paid method very, very quickly was because first I already had experience taking sales calls. I kind of understood the value of it, and I was confident in my ability to get a really low cost per lead. And then my mentality about it was just, I just need to get as many sales calls as possible and just slowly get the reps in this new niche. And then once I understand this niche, I'll just start crushing. So I set up Facebook ads. What I essentially did, I'll just give some free game. I just hired somebody to scrape all of the different emails of mortgage loan officers from like Yellow Pages and LinkedIn. And I took all those emails and I literally just uploaded it as a custom audience into Facebook. Did no, like literally like nothing too complicated. Threw up like literally some image ads my funnel is like, to this day, the most simple funnel. Like it's not the most, it's literally a jot form where I'll get them to ask a couple questions. Well, ask them a couple questions about their business. After they finish the questions, it redirects them to a Calendly where they book a call. It's like, and then after they book the call, it takes them to a thank you page. And that's like literally the most simple funnel. People kind of overthink it. But the main thing I was just doing was just making sure I followed up with every single lead I reached out to and set appointment for, and just being really good on the follow-up in that end. So those are the two methods I used to start. Started booking calls, and then from there was just like taking those calls and selling.
Damn, dude, that's sick. So that lookalike audience worked well with the Facebook ads?
Yes, I would say so. And then, but the thing is like with the iOS updates, I've been seeing more, not difficulty, but like as you try and scale ad spend on Facebook, your cost per lead is inevitably going to rise. So I ended up pivoting to YouTube ads and running YouTube ads to mortgage loan officers, same funnel and everything. And the thing that I noticed with YouTube is that as you scale ad spend, like let's say I doubled my ad spend, my cost per lead isn't going to rise nearly as much as it is on Facebook. I think that might be due to some iOS tracking issues or just attribution, or I don't even know. It might be because like YouTube doesn't charge you or charge the advertiser if somebody clicks skip ad. So I can be really disqualifying with the first like 15 seconds of my ad, like something along the lines of, if you're not a mortgage loan officer, fuck off or some shit like that. But yeah, YouTube ads have been like going really well for me lately as a form of acquisition. And then I'm going to be setting up like on my landing page, I'm going to just set up, like, I already set it up, like Facebook, the Facebook pixel, the LinkedIn pixel, ad roll, just so I can like have like random image ads on like, I don't know, CNN or some shit. And I'll just start retargeting from there, and then having YouTube ads as my top of funnel. So that's going to be my paid strategy. And then I'm building out a LinkedIn to email to voicemail drop follow-up system. And then my goal is to have a zap where I can end up zapping all of the emails of people who accept my request, my connection request, to a custom audience on Facebook. So once they accept my connection request on LinkedIn, I can start hitting them with ads on Facebook. So it's kind of like my slowly, my goal is to slowly merge, well, building out one inbound and one outbound organic, one inbound and one outbound method of acquisition, and then slowly kind of like mirroring the two.
That's crazy, dude. That's so sick. I feel like, well, we don't really do paid ads for any of our lead gen, obviously, because we just do cold outreach. But yeah, marrying those two strategies together has got to be killer. And then people are just seeing your face everywhere and they're like, oh, I got to work with this guy, I guess.
Yeah, I would say that, like, for what y'all, if you guys just set up like a simple zap where, like, let's say, I don't know what LinkedIn software you use, but I used to use Ulink or whatever. And you could just literally just set it up to where you can have a zap of, if they accept your connection request, you can send their email to a Google Sheet, and then you can connect that Google Sheet to Facebook. So it's like an indirect way to start running ads to people who accept your request. And it's like, it's just a good way to just stay in front of people.
Yeah. Yeah. We were actually doing that for a time where we were just zapping like any emails of people that connected with us to a Facebook audience. We just never really got Facebook ads up and running. But one thing that stood out too that you mentioned that actually applies to cold outreach is like qualifying people like right from the jump. So like it's really difficult to, sometimes at least, it's difficult to like target for exactly what you're trying to target for. Like you said, like mortgage professionals. So like in the email, like that's an easy opportunity to qualify them or to like segment them. And same thing with an ad, like, hey, if you're not a mortgage professional, fuck off. Like in the email, you could do the same thing by just sending an email that says, are you a mortgage professional? And they're either going to say yes if they are, or no if they're not. And there you go, you know exactly what prospects to focus on based on how people reply to that email. So like, I think there's the same concepts and strategies work both ways. So it's cool to hear like the flip side of it with you with paid ads.
Yep.
Really dope. So right now, I guess, what are you currently working on? And more, I guess my question is like, what strategies are working best for you to kind of like drive new business to all the different ventures you got going on?
I'd say honestly, like, so the two businesses I'm currently helping out with is my own agency and Waker. And Waker is pretty, I was doing like cold outreach to like different companies to help with like software development and stuff to try and like pitch software development offers. What I quickly realized is for some offers, just cold outreach is a bit like asking somebody to buy a 50 or 60 or 100K software development package over email is like asking a girl to marry you on the first date. You know what I mean? So like for certain different things, like for a commoditized service like lead gen and ads, or just growth in general, it makes sense because it's like you can kind of pitch that cold. But I was having a lot of difficulty pitching a software development cold. So I pivoted to YouTube ads for that, and it's been working really well, surprisingly. I was just like, all right, something's got to work. Let's just run it. So I've been running YouTube ads for that. And honestly, that's all I've been doing for Waker for the most part. It's honestly a pretty chill business. And then for my own business, I've just been grinding on setting up systems and processes. And the thing I've done really well is I've kind of, or maybe it's a fault, I guess, is I've been keeping my business super duper lean in terms of like not really hiring an account manager or like media buyers or like closers or anything yet. I have just like two VAs to help with like prospecting and stuff. But other than that, I've kind of just kept it to myself. And my goal is to, over the next like month or two, to make sure I hammer out as many systems and processes for like onboarding, offboarding, shit like that, so I can hire on an account manager, because that's the part of my business I hate the most, is like I hate saying this, but talking to the clients. And then once I do that, my goal is just to start seeing like what their capacity is at, and then I can slowly just start pouring on more money into paid ads, and hopefully bring on a closer. And then that's my plan to scale. So I guess like my end goal is like to have a team of one account manager, one closer, in the end maybe one marketing manager if I get too lazy and I don't want to run it, and maybe me and two VAs. And that's my overall structure that I have in my head to get my agency to like 100 to 200K a month, I think. Maybe like one more closer and one more account manager, but it is what it is.
Damn, dude. Yeah, that's sick. It just shows you what you can accomplish with like, you know, automations and systems with marketing. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's nuts. Especially if like a lot of the things that one of the biggest things that I realized that people overestimate is their own value in their business. Like even if like, let's say you're working like 60 to 80 hours a week, and you're making like $2 million a year in revenue, right? And like, let's say you build some systems and processes and you hire out other people and your profit goes down by like 40%. People be like, oh shit, my profit went down. But your business overall is probably more valuable because nobody wants to buy or purchase a business that is, the bottleneck is like the founder. If you can build systems and processes in your business, that's when it becomes an actual business that you can sell and give off to somebody else, which is the value. So I guess one of the biggest things is focusing on capital and building structures rather than just my own labor, which is still valuable, but I realized that like I'm lazy and that's my biggest skill set, I guess.
That's so true. I think that's like a perspective that you don't really hear often, and it's maybe just out of inexperience, but since you have experience like actually selling equity in a company, I feel like that definitely helps with the perspective. Cause like you said, I think so many people are focused, especially in the agency space, on like profit. But like profit's great, but that's really like a salary. The reason you go into business in the first place is to build an asset that you can eventually sell or has value outside of just the profit. So it's cool to hear like a refreshed look at that.
Yeah. Like, cause I guess that maybe not sell, cause the only reason I wouldn't maybe sell my agency now is just because the multiples, like the valuation multiples on an agency are not that high. They're probably like 1.5 to 2x, like probably like, yeah, those are probably the multiples. But if you can like kind of build out systems and processes and just make yourself the chairman instead of like the operator, then you just have a business that's spitting off cash flow every month that you can reinvest into whatever you want. So I guess that's the end goal that I see for myself. And honestly, I feel like most agency owners want that, to where they can hire out somebody else to do the day-to-day operations. And then they kind of just like, will maybe see like a weekly report or something and just like have like a couple of meetings a week.
Yeah, definitely the end goal for a lot of people building up to that point. So great insights. Christian, do you have any other questions before we go into the lightning room?
Yeah, I just want to ask, how did you meet little baby, dude? That was sick.
Okay, so in 2018, I started college, and a girl who used to go to my high school, her mom owns a modeling agency. So her mom was just like, I guess, scouting me or whatever. So when I started college, she was like, oh, wait, you should do X, Y, and Z. So that was like probably like my, I guess, like first foray into like modeling and stuff. And then I booked a job for Finish Line. And the concept of the shoot was really interesting. It was, they brought in an actual like Los Angeles based like fashion designer and stylist, right? And they had her style in a dress like half the models. And then they brought in an Atlanta rapper, Lil Baby. And then he was able to style and dress the other half of the rappers. So the entire point of the shoot was like the juxtaposition between like, I guess, like high fashion versus like culture. And he was like a super duper nice dude, like genuinely one of the, he showed up like 4 hours late, which I was thankful for because I got paid by the day, so I didn't mind. But he was like really respectful to the entire staff that was there, and it was just like, I was just like, all right, this man's like, even though he's like popping and stuff, he was like really humble about it.
Oh, that's dope, dude. That's a sick opportunity for sure. And yeah, I feel like all those rappers always show up late. Like if I was going to a Lil Uzi concert and he was like 4 hours late to the show, but yeah. So if you're all set, we'll go into the lightning round, which is just a series of a few quick questions that we usually wrap up the show with.
Let's run it.
Sweet. All right. So the first one is, if you could send one tweet that would be seen by the entire platform, what would it say?
I love you.
I love that. I love that. I love that. Beautiful. Simple enough.
I mean, like, I feel like that's the one message I don't think anybody will get. Or no. Let me get a platitude. Drink water. There we go. That's a better answer.
Drink water. Classic. Classic, bro. That's the go-to when you're out of ideas to tweet. Drink water. So funny. Great. Next question is, if we had you on for another interview a year from now, what's one thing you'd want to have accomplished by then, whether it be in business or even outside of business?
I think what I want to be able to accomplish is the balance between focusing on my work and also making sure make sure my relationships and stuff are cultivated and like attended to. Like when you initially said that question, the first thing that popped in my head was like, oh, I want to get to like 100K a month or 200K a month. But then I kind of just realized that that's not really like, it is a goal, but I don't think that it's like, I guess it's kind of like, I want to make sure I prioritize like getting there in a good way first versus like just getting there at all costs and feeling like empty at the end. You know what I mean? So I just want to make sure that like I'm building businesses in like a sustainable way to where I'm actually enjoying the process and I don't feel burnt out about it.
Yep. Dude, that's sick. Yeah. I like your whole approach to doing it your way and making sure it's fun and sustainable. So that's sick.
Yeah. That's the only way to work long term, because too many people get burnt out in the short term and then they just quit.
Yep. Yeah, 100%, dude. Yeah. So the last one for me is, what's one thing you know right now that you wish you knew when you were 18?
Oh, shoot. Fuck. I probably would have told myself I'd be dropped out now, so I wouldn't have even bothered going to college. But I'd say probably the more important thing is I would have rewired my, or at least kind of informed myself that you can kind of, if you can learn basic sales skills and honestly like a couple, one or two skill sets from like YouTube, you can get like a full-time income off of just like training for your experience, your expertise for a service you have. And just convincing myself that I was smart enough and good enough to be able to even like close a client. Cause I guess that's the biggest mindset shift I had is like, especially I think most people, cause when they're first starting their, I guess their agencies, they think, oh, what, why, who am I to have a client or whatever? You know what I mean? Cause they just feel not good enough for some reason, or at least that's the way I felt.
Yeah. Facts. It's just getting past like that limiting belief of like you could actually get paid for, you know,
this. What was the biggest struggle, like, to flip it back to y'all? Like, what would you guys tell yourself differently from like, I guess, like a couple of years ago before you started your business?
Damn, we've never been asked that question, so put on the spot. I guess what I would say is like, don't chase the money, or like, don't chase the shiny objects. It's just whatever you're working on, like, stick with it and actually follow through instead of bouncing from idea to idea. Cause I think that's what caught me off, or got me like, that's why I didn't grow as much as I could have, I feel like, is cause I always kind of went to the new opportunity before maximizing.
Shiny object syndrome.
Yeah, exactly. Just always going to the next shiny object. Mm-hmm. So just like stay focused on one thing. If you do it for a long period of time, yeah, everyone else is making money from this or that, but that has nothing to do with me. So like, yes, just focus on what I'm doing and it'll work out. And I've done that now for past year with Christian and our other partner, Dan, and we've had the most success we've ever had in just a short amount of time. And that's just what we're going to continue to do. So might get an NFT here and there, but you know, other than that.
What you'd say also is the one big thing that y'all did that's like let's say the 80-20 rule, the one thing that you do or you guys do that you think accounts for most of your revenue or like most of your growth?
Yeah, that's a good question. Twitter, dude. I feel like tweeting has a lot to do with our growth because it drives a lot of sales call opportunities. We've gotten a lot of clients just off of tweets and just having like a like good infrastructure in the back end with a link tree and an email list. But that is a good question. For our agency, I think like the biggest needle mover is just tweeting has a lot to do with it. And Yeah, keeping it, yeah, keep it simple.
Exactly. Because simple scales.
Yeah, exactly. Simple scales. I also think like this is really underrated, and I don't think like people would ever think of this, but like we do weekly meetings between Christian, myself, and our other partner, Dan. And just having like the weekly meetings to see like what we actually did that week, what, where are we like trying to go and what do we need to do the next week to get to where we want to go? Like just having those consistent, like we've had a check-in call every fucking Sunday since we started. And every single time we know exactly what to recap. We know exactly what's on our list to accomplish the next week. And it's very structured and we've stayed on that path for a long period of time. And I feel like those consistent actions like really set us up for success on what do we need to accomplish throughout the week, you know?
Do you guys set up your structure to where I'm guessing like one person is operations, one person is acquisition and like sales exactly. And then person fulfillment. But yeah, you guys, yeah. You guys are doing it right. Like I was on there.
Exactly. We tell this to everyone, dude. An agency is as simple as lead gen or marketing, sales, and then fulfillment. So like I'm big on fulfillment. Christian's big on lead gen and marketing. And then Dan does all of our sales closing. So like, we all stay in our little buckets. I mean, we might cross over a little bit every now and then, but those are each of our own specialties. And we kind of just build out our own systems and processes to do each of those things. And it's worked great. I would never want to do sales I don't have to, neither does Christian because Dan does all of that. Dan would never want to do fulfillment and he doesn't have to, cause I do all of that. So it's set up nicely.
I was on another podcast, like I think like a little while ago. And that's the exact same thing I said is I just told, if you're probably like first starting or thinking about starting an agency, which is like y'all's audience, which is a good thing. I'd say like, figure out what you are just really, really good at. Or if you're not even good at anything yet, figure out what you think you'd like and partner with somebody who has the opposite skills you do and just dish out the roles. Be like, you do X, Y, and Z. I'll do X, Y, and Z, and just hold each other accountable. And those are like the most successful agencies I've seen where it's literally the exact structure y'all have. Like one person came in just doing sales from day one, one person doing ops. Like, and most of the ones that I've seen fail is just everybody trying to do everything and stepping on each other's toes, which is funny.
Yeah, dude.
Well, cool. Yeah, I enjoyed the podcast, man.
Got one more question.
Okay. Cool.
The last question is just, it's pretty straightforward, but it's like, what are three software tools that you and your agency couldn't survive without?
Okay. Go high level, as every agency owner will tell you. Software tools, go high level, Slack, and Asana.
Solid tech stack. Well, that's it for the lightning round. And then the last question of the interview is actually, where can our audience find you, follow you, and learn about, you know, ways to potentially work with you?
Okay, cool. My Twitter is @SEANMATHEW. My Instagram is the same thing with the underscore at the end. And like, honestly, just hit me on, I'll just give my personal email. It's Sean, SEAN, @Matthew, MATHEW-digital.com. So for any of y'all cold email wizards out there, hit my line with some good crazy offers or whatever.
Sick, dude. This was a really fun interview. Appreciate your time, your expertise, your insights, and get this out to everyone in the space and see what they have to say.
Hey guys, it's Andre again. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen into this episode. If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to share it with a fellow agency builder. If you'd like to continue the conversation, be sure to give me a follow on Twitter @AndreHeichel Jr. And finally, if you need further help building your agency, visit our website at www.knowledgex.us. See you next time.